Hello, fellow humans. Welcome to Uncharted Living. We are your hosts, Christine, Rebecca, and Ty. We are business owners, corporate leaders, and life coaches. Join us each week for authentic, thought-provoking, and entertaining conversations. We'll discuss a variety of topics, from personal wellness and professional growth to creativity and spirituality, all designed to help you create your own map for your life. We are excited to partner with you on your uncharted journey.
Uncharted living, it's just the beginning. Don't be afraid to get life started. Jump off the map and live uncharted.
Hello, fellow humans. Welcome back to Uncharted Living. We are life coaches who are reimagining our lives and helping each other follow our own North Star instead of sticking to that map that society has handed us. We're super excited to discuss the idea of boundaries today, what they are, how to make them, and what they can do for all humans who are navigating uncharted waters.
Hi, guys. So good to be with you again. Welcome, listeners. Thank you so much for coming back to listen to another podcast with us. And like Ty said, we're talking about boundaries. And even though the term uncharted, which is also the title of our episode, refers to stepping outside the lines of what is traditionally expected, our actual lives, they tend to have very few emotional and physical and mental boundaries, especially when it comes to our traditional expectations, and especially for women, right? Women are often expected to be all things for all people at all times, at the risk of being called difficult, frigid, bitchy, unhelpful. And so we wanted to talk with you guys, the listeners today, about the fact that while setting boundaries relating to other people and situations can be wonderful and initially feel freeing, aren't we also keeping ourselves imprisoned if we maintain unhealthy boundaries for ourselves with respect to allowing ourselves to feel things, experience things, eat things? So we're going to tackle all this today, and especially that boundaries can be very useful with respect to living an uncharted life, but being mindful about how we place boundaries on ourselves and whether those are helpful or not helpful in our quest to live uncharted.
Yes, I love that so much. It's like as we kind of go off the map and look for ways in which we can start living more and more uncharted, you know, it might be helpful to have some framework to keep us, you know, heading in the direction that feels very intentional. So part of the thing we wanted to do right here off the bat is define what are we talking about when we're talking about boundaries. And Nedra Glover Tawab has an amazing definition. You can grab her book. She's the author of Set Boundaries, Find Peace. So look her up. She's amazing. She's a therapist. Her definition of boundaries is something that I think is in line with what we're talking about here. So it's the idea that there, a boundary is something that keeps you safe and comfortable in your relationships. Mm-hmm. So what we're talking about today for everyone at home, fellow humans, we're talking about ways in which you can keep yourself feeling safe and comfortable first in your relationship with yourself and then in your relationship with your world. It's like you have the capability. Boundaries are really only things you can set for your own safety and comfortability. If we're using this working definition of Nedra's, right? Like mm-hmm. you can only do that. Like the, you can only do that if you know what those parameters look like for yourself, right? So part of living uncharted for everyone at home to think about, what is it that you're actually putting a boundary around? Like, what is it that you are actually going to be leading from in this scenario? And I, if it's okay for the sake of the conversation, if we could maybe spend a little time on that and kind of put a pin in interacting then with other people around that, because I think it's really helpful, at least for me. If I'm jumping to how I'm already interacting with people around my boundaries, I'm like skipping a step. in some way. So how do you know what your boundaries are?
So I have an example that I'd like to share with our listeners. If anyone's ever been to a museum, right? And think of the pieces that are in a museum as things that are important to you, right? Your schedule, your life is the museum. Okay. Certain people can get in for free no matter what. They get access to every room, right? In your house, in your proverbial house. Maybe some parts of your schedule or some parts of your time are open only for your family, friends and family, right? Maybe some parts of the museum are okay for kids, and that's where they can, like, you know, crap all over the place and, like, you know, just interact and just be a hot mess. But maybe that's just for certain times. And then some people have, you know, again, after hours access. I mean, not to be, you know, weird about it, but, like, you know, you put boundaries around things that are precious to you. Right. So when you go into a museum and the Mona Lisa is there, you don't get, like, it's surrounded by glass, right? Mm-hmm. There's timed entries. People can only go at certain times because it is precious, because we as a society have decided that the Mona Lisa is really precious. So you can't just have whoever wants to go in and touch it and interact and be there as long as they want. No, you have to freaking buy a ticket. You have to, like, wait in line. You have to go. It's very climate controlled. You can only spend so much time. You definitely can't touch it. So just think about, you know, either your time or your schedule or your family even, and definitely your own personal soul as like the Mona Lisa, something that is very, 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 very precious. And so certain people only get certain access, and you get to define the access, right? And you're doing it not because it's precious, not because you're selfish, but because it is precious. And your own self is the most precious thing of all. And so just to take it, like, one step further, even the most, let's just say someone shows up and says, I'd really like to study the Mona Lisa. I love Da Vinci. I have 18 degrees in art history. I have done all the research. I'm wearing gloves. I know what I'm talking about. May I have access to the Mona Lisa to, you know, whatever, take a look at it. That person might get access, and still only for a limited period of time, right? So this is now the closest person that you're letting in to your most precious self. You're not going to let in a group of kids that just came from a trampoline park and they're all sweaty and they're all over the place and half of them are potty trained and half of them are not, and they don't know anything. You're not going to let them into, like, you know, under the glass type of thing. So again, just to sort of, hopefully I'm telling our listeners something that's, you know, relatable, but again, we protect what is important. We protect what is precious. So whether it's your internal soul, whether it's your physical body, whether it's your emotional time and space, whether it's your, you know, relationship with your spouse, which should also have boundaries around it, your immediate family, you know, the people that live in your house should have a boundary around it, right? So there's also different boundaries depending on who you're with, who you're talking about, and then who's going to have access. So that's why I think they're just really important.
So what I love about what you just said, Christine, is to Becca's point, creating boundaries by definition then means you need to pick out what your most precious thing is, like the Mona Lisa, and put that shit under glass.
Absolutely.
So what I'm learning right now in real time is you guilt-based language is you figured out that hurt your feelings after the fact, and boundaries are figuring out what your priorities are before the fact.
Exactly. Yes.
Ooh, I like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. So it makes sense now why we all are conditioned to do the guilt thing, because it's a little too late. You know, it's like, I didn't think of it. I didn't plan for it. It happened, and now I'm pissed.
And so, also the example in our society is that everyone has to be accessible to everyone at all times. And so I think that just when someone does set a boundary, it feels so jarring because we've had the experience of just, right? Everyone must be accessible. Mm-hmm. Everyone must be available. Everyone must do that. So this is, in a way, this is very, this is a big deal. This is revolutionary, right? To do something like this. I think more and more people are getting, interested in it, but it's still a big deal, I think, for our society that mandates that you be on call and accessible and do everything for everybody at all times. So
totally. It's like there's this expectation that we will be available at all times for whoever it needs us, wants us in that moment. What I'm thinking about in this regard is like some of my most precious Mona Lisas, so to speak. Use that as like my freaking energy.
Yeah.
Like my energy. And what I love about the museum analogy is like that can also change and be seasonal. And like the Mona Lisa might actually go on an exhibit in a different museum for some time. Or maybe it's, I don't know, maybe there's like let's not get too in the weeds with the analogy. But you know what I mean? Like there can be seasons where the boundaries look a little different than they do in other times. And for me, that looks like going back to, you know, how I go about defining what those precious things are. Really, a lot of them go back to, you know, something that feels a little more unclear. It's like it's an energetic thing, and that can be a hard thing to communicate to people. It's my, mm-hmm. it's my time. It's, you know, it's attention. It's how available I am on this little smartphone I have in front of me all the time. You know, things like that, that really do eat up and suck dry some of those energetic buckets.
So Becky, when you're talking about communicating to other people, your boundaries and it sucking up your energy, is a boundary that you can make for yourself just silence? Can you just say, no, I can't make it and not give any expectation? I mean, explanation.
Thank you for asking that. That has been the thing that I have gotten so much better at. Mm. Because I work with a lot of folks who are on career paths, right? So a lot of that, there's intersections with personal life and career. It's very different to try to communicate a boundary in your personal life than it is in a work setting, because there's power dynamics that are totally different. So what I have learned and what kind of that intersection has been just for me personally over the last, I'll say 10 years, has been getting so much better at figuring out what those things are up front. So I love that you highlighted that. It's not in reaction to things necessarily as much anymore, although it is not perfect. But I do have kind of a boundary around, time and being able to, you know, cancel plans. I hate to say it. I'm kind of one of those people. But if it feels like it's going to threaten that thing that feels precious to me, my circles have gotten a little bit smaller, especially over the last year or so. So seasonally it feels different. I don't know if I'm explaining that well, but yes, to answer your question.
So yes, silence is a boundary in and of itself.
Silent, not ghosting, but yeah, not having to explain.
Yeah, right.
there's the idea of like when we're talking about we're infinitely accessible. We have these little leashes in our pockets at all fucking times, and it's a text or a voice memo or any kind of thing in the box of the phone. There's just, is a boundary replying? And then if they reply back, you there's no end. Like someone has to end it, right? So
So what I'm saying is we're not ghosting people. We're not just like not replying. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is like, Christine, I think to your point earlier, like it's okay to just say no and not necessarily feel like you owe everyone an explanation, but there are circumstances and friendships and relationships where like that might feel a little harsh.
Yeah.
You know, maybe there's a conversation you have with someone that goes something like, hey, I'm in a season where I'm really trying to protect this piece of what I'm working on. Like for me right now, I'm growing a business, right? So that is precious to me. I'm pouring so much into that it has changed how I interact with some of my friendships in certain ways. Like I'm not going out. I'm in bed. I'm up early, you know? So the communication piece of that is very important. Silence isn't necessarily, I guess I want to be clear about that. I'm not talking about just like,
well,
stonewalling people. I'm saying, you know, yeah.
I have a practical tip, I think, for all of us and our listeners, especially if you've been one that is always part of a group text, always part of a texting that goes back. Start gradually to put your, you know, notifications silent so that when people text you, it'll come back. Yes. They have notifications on. Just start maybe having certain hours on your phone where the whatever it's called, you know what I mean? That little like moon that says, you know, that you're not accepting texts right now.
Do not disturb.
Do not disturb. Thank you. Gosh.
Yeah.
the little moon. Do not disturb. But start there, right? And then start getting into a habit. Like, you know, maybe mute these group chats. I'm in a lot of group chats. And listen, when I've got the time, they're a lot of fun. But when I need to focus on other things, I mute all of those so that they're not constantly dinging. So, you know, part of this is just sort of practical, you know, with the phone and that kind of communication. But I think, you know, maybe the first couple of weeks is people are like, why aren't you getting back to me? Why do you have your notifications on? Eventually they'll figure it out. And if they're worth being in your life, they're gonna respect these.
What kind of boundaries have you set? What are some success stories before and after for boundaries with your partner?
Yeah. And partners, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
One that we have that has been a success story is, you know, Lindsay's an extrovert. I'm an introvert by nature. So I recharge by having solo time and alone time, and she recharges by having connection. And so early in our relationship, that was a hard thing to navigate. I had been used to living on my own for a really long time. She had been used to being in long-term relationship for a long time. So that wasn't something that totally came natural to us. Mm-hmm. But through communication, we were able to figure out ways in which I can get my needs met and she also gets her needs met. So how we set that up is in the morning, I sacrifice a little sleep time. So I do get up earlier, but I have my morning time and she knows like not to come bother me. Yesterday, she did. And she came to the room. We have a puppy. So she brought the puppy in and then she like kind of sat on the bed and was, you know, wanting to talk. And I just kind of looked at her and I didn't have to say anything. I just kind of looked at her and I was like, too soon. And she's like, you know what? I'm going to go out here and do da, da, da. And then later she was like, I knew that. It was too soon. Sorry.
Oh my gosh.
We've worked that out. That's one example. But I also think like, you know, I know people who like sleep in different bedrooms with their partner. And that's not something that like culturally is expected, right? So being able to do that where you have your own space, you can be in your own energy, you can be in your own sleep cycle and pattern. That's get creative with it. You know, there's like the sky is really the limit. We don't have to move forward with relationship in ways that, you know, to be quite honest, may not have worked that well for other generations. Right.
Totally.
Right. So, I mean, Ricky and Lucy slept in different beds and I think they had a great relationship on I Love Lucy. Totally, you know, just take most of our social cues from them. She was a very liberated woman.
Yes, she was.
You know, to our listeners, just watch some I Love Lucy and call it a day.
So good.
So Becca, I'm Lindsay and David is you in our relationship. My parents recently moved away to be a little bit further from us, but we had lived around the corner from them for, 11 years. And I remember, though, when he first he had lived on his own for a long time, not quite as close with his family. My family is just, a lot, and it's great and it's fun, but it's a lot. And I remember the first time when we were dating, and I brought him home for Christmas, we were all going to go look at the light, whatever some light show was that we always went growing up, we were going to go. And he's like, yeah, I'm not going to go. And I was like, what? And we were all right.
My horrified. Parents,
I'm embarrassed. Like, what do you mean? He's like, yeah, I'm not interested in, I'll just hang here. And it was like a thing, like a capital T thing that like he didn't go. And I was the first one of my sisters to get married. So like, even they were like, what do you mean he's not going? And now they're all married to people who are kind of similar. Like we're all extroverts and we all married introverts. So now like the guys can just be like, you and your family, you guys are crazy. And why does everything have to be a group activity? And so, but it's something that we have learned the hard way over the years. But I really am happy to say now as a success story is that, in interacting with him and knowing what he's up for or not up for, that I do check with him. And it's not because I need permission or whatever from him, but I always say, let me check with David and I'll get back to you on that. And then I check with him and, how does this feel to you? And sometimes he'll surprise me and be like, yeah, this all sounds good. But I always check to make sure we're on the same page. And then if it's something I want to do, I'll say, well, do you mind if I go and you stay? And usually it's all right. Fine. But I think the communication as to what we do together has been better. Because when we were, early in our marriage and even with kids, especially, anytime I would get an invite from someone to go out, I would say yes on behalf of both of us. And it definitely caused friction. And I would be all annoyed, like, you're not social and all of that, but he needs that time. So we've really kind of figured that out a lot better. So if people can communicate early on in that respect and talk to each other about what they need and know, probably save many years of discussion. But now I look at him, I'm like, we were freaking genius to just say, I'm not going.
And resentment.
It's awesome. Yeah. And resentment. Exactly. And right. not taking because, on right. my family's response as my, as mine, and knowing that now I'm married and now I have kids, this is actually my responsibility. So, this is whose feelings actually matter.
Right. So. Right. Because that's, I think, the gold of the boundary topic for our listeners, for our clients, is what are your personal boundaries? And do you start with yourself? Do you want to go to the light show? Fucking no, that doesn't sound like freedom. That feels like hell, right? And then we live in this society that it hurts other people's feelings if you don't like what they like, but that actually makes no fucking sense.
Yeah.
Like I get to like what I like. It shouldn't hurt. If I like pizza and you don't like pizza, why should that hurt my feelings?
Yeah.
So if you start to advocate for yourself and then listen deeply to your family, to the people or your coworkers, whoever, your roommates, whoever you might be living with or cohabitating with, it creates freedom on both sides. A nice, beautiful fence between me and you is a helpful thing instead of a hurtful thing. Yeah. And that's what I think we're all getting at. And it's interesting too, because now my question to you guys is, what is the boundary that you have to set when you're the one on the other side of the fence, right? So what are the boundaries you have with yourself? Because those, I think, are even harder. Tell me where I'm wrong. To make and set and keep I've had so many instances where I've stepped on my own feet and hurt my own feelings. Does that make sense?
Well, tell us more about that.
So my whole life I've been an athlete. I grew up swimming, then I played water polo, I rode, I did CrossFit. And during 2020, I was experiencing back pain. I was experiencing some leg pain. And every time I kind of rehabbed, I went back in the gym and fucked it up some more. Mm-hmm. And then I went back, rehabbed, and then fucked it up some more. And I couldn't, my new body couldn't keep up with my old expectations of my old body. These were things that were in my mind very easy for the person who is me. But the body I was dealing with was like, I don't think so, sis. That's not happening. And because you did that, your whole left leg is a swollen mess and you're pissed off. But so my body was trying to give me a boundary that I just kept on stepping over. And it caused my own suffering. My wife is like, okay. She's trying to stay on her side of the fence. Like, uh-huh. I'm like, well, it hurts again. Uh-huh. And she's like, well, you're doing dumb stuff. You know, and finally when we got to the bottom of it, I was in the orthopedist office, who was amazing, one of the better doctors I've seen. And he was giving me a diagnosis, and it's a long diagnosis about my femur. But basically, I just wanted answers. Like, we are humans who just want, like, tell me what to do. And as an athlete, I've been told what to do kind of my whole life. Get in the pool. This is what you're doing. Get in the pool. This is what you're doing. Get in the boat. Whatever it is, I'll do it. I've always had a body that could do the thing. So I said to the doctor, well, now that I have this diagnosis, what do I do? And he was like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, do I do yoga? Do I do Pilates? Do I do kickboxing? What do I do? And he said, Ty, you need to work on your relationship with your hip.
Aww.
And I was like, wow. That's such a great answer. And I'm so pissed off. That's not the answer. I just wanted a concrete answer. So I'm asking you guys, what do we do with boundaries for ourselves? That was a really tough boundary for me to keep bumping up against. And even when I had x-rays in my face that showed me, you can no longer do these things. You have many torn things on the MRI. Stop it. I still wanted answers. And do we also live in a very, you know, Googleable world? Like, answer, put it in your phone.
Right. Yeah. Immediate gratification.
Yeah.
Mine has to do with alcohol.
Okay. So. And mine had to do with food. So.
Oh, we're doing all the things.
We'll just do the things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Becca.
So, you know, Lindsay and I love to drink. And I've been in the wine business for about 10 years. And so it's very conducive to all of that. For 2021, we went an entire 12 months without drinking, the two of us together. Mm-hmm. And it was freaking amazing. It was one of those boundaries that, you know, talking about structure, creating freedom, I felt so free. I didn't have to think about it. I didn't have to we didn't have to come up with like, who's going to be the DD? Who's going to da da da? It was just, it felt so clear that it just wasn't an option. And so we're in end of February now as we're recording this. And, you know, we've been partaking again for this new year for the last 2 months, you know, here and there, not necessarily a lot, but what I'm realizing is that the boundary doesn't feel clear to me anymore. Like, it's not an issue or a problem, but what it's creating for me is it is taking energy to interact with in a different way. So I don't know that I have a clear answer for you, but what I'm saying is, like, in real time, I feel like that is a boundary that I'm still sort of not sure what makes me feel safe and comfortable.
But during the year that you weren't drinking, you kind of set it and forget it. It was like, we're not drinking.
Yeah.
And did you feel more freedom with that boundary?
Totally. Yeah. It was a hard one. Like, it was a hard, for sure, initially, especially in the beginning, very hard. But, you know, with the structure of it was something that I came to really enjoy. And I think it's going to be an ongoing, it's going to be an evolution. Like, I'm not sitting here today feeling, saying I feel certain either way. Like, I'm not saying I'm never going to drink again, but I am saying, like, I can recognize that this is something that is a conversation within myself.
Mm. And that's a boundary you placed on yourself. I mean, you guys made the informed decision to make that boundary for yourself.
Yes.
And because you held yourself to the boundary, Becca, I'm curious, has that changed your perspective of yourself and what you're capable of?
Totally. Yes. Well, this last year was also just such a transition year, right? Like, there were so many things, like, you guys know, but for listeners at home, like, this was a, you know, we moved. I left the wine industry, launched my private practice, went back to school. There's a lot of things to focus on, and it's been amazing. Like, I'm doing things I never thought I would be able to do. And in part, last year, it was so great not to have that as, you know, a distraction. Yeah. And anyway, I woke up clear-headed every single day. Even, you know, there was never a day that I was like, oh, shouldn't have had that third cocktail last night. You know, it made my morning routine feel more expansive. And I'm not saying that, like, that has to be a standard for everyone at home. Please hear me when I say that. I am just saying, for me and what I am doing right now in my life and the things that I want to be focusing on, that feels kind of like a ongoing, I'm going to keep using the word conversation, like, internal conversation.
Well, like, you made a choice to put a boundary on. You're making a choice to explore taking it off and putting it back on.
Right.
But you're in control. That's
right.
And I think what I wanted to talk about was a boundary that's there that's not of our own making, and one that we inherited. You know, I have basically since birth struggled with weight and food. And I know that it was always in the best of intentions, but my parents were very strict about what I could eat, what I couldn't eat, that I ate things different than what my sisters were allowed to eat. These things were good. These foods were bad, et cetera, et cetera. It's taken me a lot of time in my adult life to work through all that, but the boundary still exists for me. It's not as formidable as I think it once was. Could I still tell you right this minute to both of you and to our listeners every single piece of food I've put in my mouth today? Sure, I can still tell you that. Like, it's still kind of a running thing that I deal with. Mm. And it's a boundary that, in the name of health, is a prison. I can probably bet that a lot of our listeners have struggled with this, struggle with, you know, their relationship with food, struggle with their relationship with their weight, struggled with the relationship with food and weight and their mothers. right. I mean, that's a whole
diagram.
Right. Oh, yeah. Lordy. And their mothers and all of that. And how, you know, when it's set for you at such a young age, and what the boundary was sort of placed for me because again, this is not that they said this specifically to me, but the assumption was, and the thing that was unspoken, was that if we don't have this for you, you can't be trusted and you'll be out of control. And
if we don't have what for you, Christine?
If we don't have, like, boundaries in place about, like, here's what you can eat. This is what we're going to order for you. This is what we're going to order for your sisters. These are the snacks.
So you're saying, Give us an example of what you're talking about. I'm so curious.
Yeah. So when we were younger and, you know, my parents went to like, would get us like, I remember like there was a Sunday morning, sometimes like before we go to church, my dad would go to McDonald's and get breakfast for everybody, which I know it doesn't sound healthy now, but my sisters were all allowed to eat pancakes, but I had to have the eggs. And that was right. I was never allowed to have their pancakes because that food was bad for me.
How did they communicate that to you? Or was it more just like they just ordered and gave you all something?
No, it was a big issue in my weight was the subject of conversation.
You were singled out?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I was the one with the problem. So that's a whole nother thing. I don't know that I want to.
Yeah.
But it is something that I have tried to shed as I've gotten older. I'll be very honest with you guys and with my listeners. And I don't know that we meant to take this turn so quickly, but you know, when I was pregnant, I prayed that I would not have girls. I prayed that I would not have girls. I did not. I was so afraid of, you know, messing with them with that kind of stuff. And, you know, I have two boys, but it's still something, you know, that can easily be passed down to boys as well. And I try really hard not to, but shedding the boundary and saying, you know what, I can trust myself to either have the boundary or not have the boundary. And again, it goes back to being able to make your own choice about whether or not this boundary is good for you or it's actually imprisoning you. Is it keeping you safe or is it keeping you locked up? Is it keeping you from experiencing new things or is it keeping you basically, you know, submitted and pressed down and captive and, you know, and very small, right? And, you know, I'm still working with that. Even after all this time, I'm still working with that. But I think, you know, there's also, you know, and we'll talk about, I think at a later episode, you know, a pain journey that I've been on with chronic pain. And that even because, you know, Ty, it's sort of the opposite of what you went to. You had pain, but you thought you could do all this more stuff. Because I had pain for so long, I was afraid to do certain things, right? And be like, no, I can't do that. My back hurts too bad. I can't do that. My back hurts too, you know, it'll hurt my back. So I got into that cycle of like protecting myself with a boundary, but it actually kept me imprisoned and not experiencing new things and being able to say, well, you know what, maybe I can, you know, jump off the cliff into the, you know, into the water with, you know, when we're on vacation, or maybe I can do this. And I've started to really work on taking those boundaries that no longer served me. So I think ultimately for our listeners, we want to make sure reassess the boundaries that you have and whether or not they're serving you.
Because it sounds like in those cases, Christine, those boundaries with food and with your back pain were actually limitations.
Exactly. Yeah.
So as tools, as we try to, you know, increase all of our positive self-care with our fellow humans, what we're talking about today also has to do with, is this a boundary that sets you free or is it a limitation that limits your freedom?
And who's setting it? Is it one that you inherited? Is it a generational one? I mean, I think it's safe to say in my family, this is generational. It's a generational boundary of sorts.
And it's societal, yeah. Don't you think, you guys, in terms of what society expects from a woman or a wife or a family or a lawyer or anybody is... We're trying to redraw these characters in this uncharted living idea of, you know, for it's what's coming up for me is our family doesn't always go on vacation all together. You know, we're planning a trip. The kids and I are going to visit friends across the country. Why, if these are my friends from grad school, why would Heather want to come? I mean, she can come, but does it mean anybody should get their feelings hurt if she'd rather just stay at home? You know, it's really expensive to board the dogs. There's just a freedom from family and then society and kind of that commercialized, you know, what we see in commercials in terms of, you know, you're all going on a cruise together or, you know, where everyone's smiling. We're kind of being sold this idea that everyone, you know, should be together for the holidays. And I feel like if you dig that a little bit deeper, it's really capitalistic in, you know, the stuff that we're shown is these shiny, happy families with shiny, big gifts. And who profits from all of that? You know, not necessarily us.
Well, I think that speaks to, Christine, kind of what you're saying, like diet culture and what expectations for certain, you know, folks who identify as women and what that looks like. And then the capitalistic piece of it is parlays into one of the hardest areas to create boundaries, which is work.
Yeah.
And they're all connected and they're all interwoven, right? So you bring all these aspects of yourself to all the arenas, but being able to identify that boundary or that limitation for yourself, if it's a boundary that you've created for yourself that feels healthy in some way, knowing you can change that when you need to or want to. If it feels like a limitation, that's something that someone else has put on you from the outside, or maybe society has put on you, and that's a thought that can be molded and adapted and adjusted to give you a little more freedom in an area that maybe once you felt a lot of limitation.
Yeah.
Tell me where I'm wrong.
You're right.
I'm right.
You're right.
So I want to hear from you guys about work. Like, that to me feels like the hardest arena sometimes to create healthy boundaries. And I have a million examples of how I've done it poorly.
I had none. I had none for a long time. I am in litigation. There's no like, it'll wait till tomorrow, right? There's court deadlines. There's all sorts of things. I've managed people. I've managed offices and teams and clients. Like, you're on call. That's right. Litigation doesn't stop.
Right.
So the expectation was always that, and again, also with, you know, having kids and trying to keep my same job and everything like that, you know, you work twice as hard and you always want to make yourself available to sort of make up for the fact that, like, you know, you have kids at home and maybe you have to scoot out at a certain time. So there was literally no boundary in my life between, you know, work and home. And during COVID, it was that much worse, right? There was none. I ended up needing to, I mean, kind of my body gave out and I needed to take some time off. And I felt like the most freeing thing was taking my work email off of my phone. And it seemed completely scandalous and like, who does that? Right. But when I came back to work, I told them I'm not putting it back on. I was very clear so that there was not an expectation that I would reply at all times. Like, these are so I was very clear about, this is when I'm in front of my computer and I'll be answering. If it is urgent upon urgent, you can send me a text or something like that. But I am not going to be, you know, checking the email on the phone. It was a big deal. And when people find out that, like, as a lawyer, I don't have my work email on my phone, they like cannot believe it. But it has saved, I wish I had done it years ago. It has been so freeing and so liberating. And it was hard and uncomfortable at first and weird, but I will never go back. So, you know, it only took 20 years to find a good find a good boundary. But I finally did it, and it was, of course, you know, after my entire body gave out. But here we are. So it is possible. That was a big deal for me. And then this year, I'm taking, you know, I just kind of blocked off my schedule. These are the hours I'm not available. These are the hours I'm coaching. These are the hours I'm recording a podcast. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've just, it took a little bit, but people, if you're consistent, I think that's the other thing that we want to tell our listeners. And again, not that we're doing it perfectly, because we're certainly not, but to be, not only communicate your boundaries, but be consistent. So in your boundaries. Now, we talked about breaking them by choice and finding out the circumstances behind why you might break one occasionally and it being your choice. But if you're generally consistent with how things are, and again, take advantage of the tech on your phone to put on notifications and do not disturb, and the these are the days I'm blocked off and I'm turning my ringer off and I'm putting my phone in the other room. Just being more and more consistent kind of develops that muscle, that boundary muscle, and is, you know, again, a gift to yourself, but also a gift to others in your world. How about you, Ty, for work?
For work, I have grown into, I've had my own company for 20 years. So, you know, in the beginning, it takes a minute to know what you're willing to do. And I think for our listeners, you don't know what you're willing to do until you do it. And some things you are willing to do, and it's no big deal. Like when I started tutoring as a, you know, freelance own boss type person, I mean, Jesus Christ, I drove all over Los Angeles during rush hour, day after day after day after day. But I was willing to do it. I didn't have any kids at home.
Yeah.
And it was, I was creating something that was mine. It was worth it to me at that time. So I think what we're saying is, what are you willing to do today and this week and this month and this year? It might not be what you would be willing to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One year or 10 years. So now that I have a pretty stable, you know, business and clientele in my academic coaching and life coaching, you know, students come to me. We built an office and I set my own hours. And it's funny, this is bringing up something that happened a couple months ago. One of my students, a lot of my students are in high school and they can advocate for themselves. And I that's one of my things with my clients is, what do you need? You're in charge of your work. It's your grade. It's your test. It's not mine. It's your time. So one of my students said, I have this test. Do you have any time on Saturday? And I looked at my calendar. I said, yeah, you can have 2:00. And she said, are you sure? And I said, yeah, you can have 2:00. And she said, okay, well, thank you so much. Are you sure that's okay with you? And I just said, I don't do things. It's totally fine. I wouldn't have offered it to you unless I was fine with it. And I don't do things I don't want to do.
Awesome.
And she laughed in such a funny, uncomfortable way that I just looked at her and I was like, oh, is that a radical thing? I didn't realize I was saying a radical thing. I was just telling the truth. I don't do things I don't want to do. In my life, where I am right now at almost 49 years old, I don't fucking do things I don't want to do. And if that gives some space and some power to anybody around, anybody listening, then that's my choice. It comes with, you know, a lot of hard work and a lot of privilege that I've totally recognize, but that's a boundary that I have, that if I want to see, if I want to work more hours because I am invested in this kid and I can see how hard they're working, I can say yes. I can also say no. And I've done that so many times. Kids who have no give no fucks about what they're doing, and then their parents ask for extra time, I'm like, no, I'm going to hang out with my own kids on Saturday.
And how much more, what a gift to her too, because then she feels special because she knows your time is precious. She knows that you know your time is precious and that you're choosing to give it to her and her kid. And that's where it's a win-win. I mean, we talked about lose-lose before, but that's a win. This is a win-win.
Right.
Exactly. Right. And I mean, the way we operate in our house, we meaning my wife and I, is we, my motto is everyone's responsible for themselves. So if you want something, you get to say it. If it's not what I want, I get to say it. And I could tell when I said that to, I mean, this, we're talking about a kid who was probably 14 or 15 at the time when I said, I don't do things I don't want to do. I mean, it was a revelation. Like her face was like, duh, like what's going on? And I think, you know, if we can all get closer to that idea, it creates a ripple effect with whoever. You don't have to work with kids. If it's like what Christine was saying, if it's a younger female lawyer trying to, you know, log in their hours and hit their marks, or if it's somebody just coming into the wine industry or the coaching space, you have to know, do that pre-work that we were talking about, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, what am I willing to do? Yes, I'm willing to do this. But then there's all this trust around that, because what happens is when I say no when I mean no and yes when I mean yes, that person knows I'm telling them the truth.
Right.
And truth is love. And love is the thing, right? So I am holding my boundaries so strongly so you can hold yours, and we can exchange, we can use trust as our language instead of any other weird guilt-based snarky language. And if I say, you know, I need trust for my work, both academic and life coaching. If you don't trust me, then I have no business talking to you, you know? So to me, being a trustworthy person is I have to trust myself to make my boundaries. Then you see them and then you start to trust me and I can do my job. And then hopefully you start to trust yourself. So it's the gift that keeps on giving.
That's beautiful. Yeah.
Any takeaways, you guys? What do we want to leave with our fellow humans with today?
I think we've had some really good ones. I think we've had this looking at boundaries, what it can do for us. It can create freedom, can reduce suffering, can help manage expectations, invite more room in our lives. And this last one, foster trust, respect, and love, as well as diminishing guilt-based responses. Mm-hmm. So those feel pretty good. I'll take that list.
Listeners, just think about your own Mona Lisa. Think about what you want to protect in your life, who gets access, what are the terms, it's your choice. And once you've got those, you know, be consistent, communicate, and figure out if these are protections that you want to make. And then internally think about protections and boundaries that you've inherited that maybe you don't, that aren't serving you, which ones you need to get rid of, which ones you need to establish. So it kind of works both ways. We talked about a lot of different areas, but for our listeners, we'd love to know what areas of your life you're putting boundaries around and what new things you're going to try this week.
Let us know.
Okay, you guys, fellow humans, Becca, Christine, thanks so much for being here. We made another podcast. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. If you want to join the conversation around this episode, any previous episodes, any future episodes, please join us on Instagram at Uncharted Living Pod. Let's all keep the conversation going. It's certainly open for interpretation, and we have so much to learn from each other. And we'll see you next week on Uncharted Living.
Bye.
Thank you so much for spending another week with us. Follow us at Uncharted Living Podcast on Instagram and TikTok. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes. And please like and share this episode with your favorite fellow human. Uncharted.